Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Yoav Navon, co-founder and chief investment officer of Nemesis Litigation Funding. Nemesis is a global litigation finance firm with a focus on blockchain-related disputes, including DeFi fraud, bankruptcy claims, smart contract hacks, and more. Yoav, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So this is really interesting. We get to talk about crypto, which is great. We don't get to do that too often on this podcast. So let's just start with your background in litigation finance. How did you come to launch a litigation funder and one that is focused on the blockchain-related disputes?
Originally, I'm a former lawyer from Tel Aviv, Israel. I've practiced litigation in Israel for almost 6 years, and I like it. You know, I thought it was probably the most exciting practice that, you know, this profession can propose, but I always had some, you know, passion to the economics around the disputes. And I coincidentally heard about litigation finance about 6 years ago. Thought, you know, I would love to learn more about it and see how we can implement it here in the Israeli market. So kind of start to self-learning that. And a few months later, start to reach out to global funders, basically say, hey, there is an opportunity here. I was lucky enough to get the attention from my former CEO, from one of the largest funders out there. And we, you know, within a few months, we built an Israeli practice, an Israeli office for this funder. Then I left my work. And originally, at the outset, I mostly sourced IP infringement cases, which you can probably find a lot in the Israeli ecosystem. But during the time, I also came across a lot of commercial arbitrations and litigation of Israeli parties, both in the domestic courts, but also a lot around the globe. I fell in love with the industry, and it still excites me every day. There was a time I kind of provided some consulting for a few other related entities after I left my former fund. So I've done some consulting for investors, for funds, law firms, legal tech startups, claimants. But, you know, the dream was always to have my own fund. And, you know, by the time I already had the courage to do so, I hope I learned a few things. And one of the things is, you know, during these 5.5 years, I saw this industry, I think, almost triple itself. And I don't think I saw the same number of good cases grow. So what happened is that, you know, it became, I think, still kind of a crowded area. And you see that whenever you see a very good case, all of a sudden you see much more competition. So I wanted to, you know, I always believed that being focused is the best thing you can do in order to really know how to underwrite cases and add value to your partners. So I looked for, you know, a field in which I think it's going to be, it's going to drive a lot of litigation. It's a growing field. Generally, it requires a deeper understanding. So there will be some kind of a, you know, high barriers for others, competitors, and crypto was the obvious choice from all those reasons. I'm very, very excited about what we are seeing in Nemesis in the last 6 months or so. I admit I did not expect such a great wave of deal flow, almost, you know, being passive. And it's not only about the number of inquiries, but also the quality of them, the quality of the legal teams and the litigation support teams we are engaging with. And the opportunities, again, we keep seeing those from day to day. We try to be very focused and at what we really believe in. But you know, the vision here is to really create something that will know how to eventually add value to all phases of any crypto-related disputes or insolvency. And we build it carefully, but with a very great enthusiasm.
Yeah, definitely a lot of interest around crypto litigation at the moment. So what sorts of claims are you seeing right now? What types of claims? Who are the plaintiffs? Who are the defendants? In what jurisdictions are these claims being filed? Can you speak to some of the trends that are happening in this space?
Sure. So we see a lot, probably on a daily basis. The most obvious ones are, you know, fraud and hacks, but we also see a lot of failure of smart contracts from various reasons, which cause severe damages, misuse of investment funds. And we also see a lot of old-fashioned commercial disputes that just touches crypto world. It could be shareholder disputes, it could be a breach of contract, it could be IP disputes. There's a lot of things happening around insolvency in that area, as you may know. So we see a little bit of both. Plaintiff, well, we say generally we see investors or users that suffer losses from all those reasons. It's a great ecosystem for group actions and class actions, which I think is fantastic because it's a very good match for litigation funding. We also see a lot of startups and shareholders on the plaintiff side. Defendants, mostly we are seeing exchanges, crypto world companies, other crypto-related companies, venture capitals. I envisage, we already start seeing actually, but I envisage it will grow, that we will see a lot of, I would say, typical defendants that there's a lot of certainty about their collection, such as, you know, officers, directors of those companies, professional services providers, banks. This is what we see as the next step. Jurisdiction-wise, we see, well, let's put it that way. We really focus on the UK and US at the moment. We also look at cases from Singapore, Hong Kong, BVI, Cayman. We could also explore cases from Switzerland, Australia, Israel, but that's a low priority for us.
What sort of opportunities exist for funders in the crypto litigation space? And also, what are some red flags that folks should watch out for?
Yeah, so I probably don't want to be too enthusiastic, otherwise I will have much more competition tomorrow. But I think, again, it's a growing area. It's a growing area, which means that there is lots of disputes, a lot because of the absence of regulatory framework for players at the market. I think it's also, as I mentioned, it's a great nature for funders. When you negotiate terms with companies, you know, it's one thing. When you negotiate terms with a group of investors or a group of claimants, there's a lot of other advantages for a funder, I think. So that's a great advantage for us. I don't think also a lot of those people suffer sometimes severe losses, you know, in a very bad way. They don't really have the appetite to keep paying or also add more losses on the legal side. So they really want to remove those risks of their balance sheet, but they want to get some recovery. I think also, you know, we need to be very picky about all the parties that we are engaging with. I think that because there is a lot of great demand, you see a lot of professional service providers that not always have the right capabilities. So we need to really be picky and make sure they have the right track record and really know what they do. And again, you know, crypto insolvency and fraud market only in 2022 was over $100 billion. The crypto market total, you know, value as for today is $1.2 trillion. So that alone, you know, brings so many opportunities in so many ways that, like, you know, it goes without saying that it's, you know, pushing us to kind of, you know, looking for more and more opportunities to find very good ways to unlock a lot of those revenues. I think also that we you know, on the risk side, again, apart from being very picky about the counterparties you choose, which is always true for litigation funding. Obviously, the key for us is always the enforcement and collection side of things. That's, I would say, probably the biggest challenge we have and what we're learning the most. On the other hand, I think that the nature of those disputes, a lot of times on the factual basis, is very straightforward. Blockchain is a public database. In order to kind of, you know, prove what you're claiming, it's not that difficult as a lot of other disputes I faced before, in which you have a lot of risk that could be caused from disclosure that's almost not exist in the cases that we see at the moment. And yes, there is an ever-changing regulatory environment. We need to be very cautious. We need to make sure we keep monitor that and, you know, see where the opportunities arise, but also where the risk. That's also, you know, another thing for us always to be careful about.
Yeah, and you mentioned the collectability issue. So how do you manage that issue? How do you ensure that defendants will be able to pay the award or settlement when we're talking, you know, the crypto space?
Yeah, again, that's like, I think, the key for us. So there are two types, eventually, of cases we see. Ones that involve digital assets and ones that involve, you know, monetary value, and we treat them differently. If it's a, you know, monetary value, fiat money, you basically do the old-fashioned enforcement and collection underwriting. You make sure who is the counterparty, you know, does it have, you know, enough assets, where, on which jurisdiction, how can you collect them? And I think that's not something we kind of, you know, we are not inventing the wheel here. We just need to be careful as always. When it comes to digital assets, it's more complex, but again, it's more opportunity for us. I would generally say that we are avoiding looking at cases in which we cannot trust a digital asset. We're already seeing amazing cases, nine figures, very straightforward, but we just couldn't trust what's going to be the value of that asset within 6 months, 12 months, 8 months. So if it's not Bitcoin or Ethereum or USDT, we are probably going to need to pass on those cases. Even when it comes to, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum, there was, you know, a lot of up and downs in the value of that. So we kind of put a significant discount on the current value when we try to kind of, you know, understand the economics of the case and making sure that our place is, you know, on top of the waterfall. So we weren't going to face any collection problems if the there's going to be a drop of the value. About the collection itself, so I think that we see more and more, especially in the UK, cases in which courts serving Mariva orders and freezing orders for multiple exchanges. If you can freeze assets early in the process, your life just became easier. Your risk just decreased dramatically. And if this is kind of the way we structure deals, in a way that we can see whether or not we are able to seize those assets early in the process, it just, you know, again, it's decreased our risk. As, you know, if you're not going to catch those assets, I don't believe that any part of the claimant side of the litigation will have any motivation to progress. So we try to kind of minimize that and build the economics in a way that even on cases that we were that we lose, I hope that won't happen, but even then, our risk will be relatively low on the deployment side.
What about other considerations that might be unique to crypto litigation when it comes to underwriting?
I really don't think we are again inventing the wheel here, and we don't try to. I look at cases as I always looked at them, just, you know, with implementing the specific of crypto. So, you know, jurisdictions is always a key for us. As we discussed in length, enforcement and collection, you know, the nature of the case, the merits. Also, obviously, the appetite for risk sharing from the lawyer's side, that's very important for us. That's a key, that's always been a key for me. I really believe in building relationship in a way that, you know, everyone will be aligned on the risk and their option to get a higher reward. You know, the other typical things we need to see that there is a reasonable ratio between the budget and the realistic damages. Making sure, you know, who is the legal team, who is the litigation support team, or do they know those type of cases? Have they dealt with that before? How did that go? You know, who is the defendant? We want to make sure that they're going to play nice. They are have all the reasons in the world to comply with any orders and any judgments. And also, you know, claimants, you know, we need to make sure we're dealing with partners that we trust, that we kind of, you know, we know that they're going to be aligned with our interest and, you know, put all the time and effort they need on the litigation, and also, you know, also know and has a reasonable expectations about, you know, the value of the case, the risk that there is out there, and, you know, what will be a reasonable settlement for them.
Okay, so final question here. Let's zoom out a little bit and look at crypto litigation as a sector more broadly. What could we expect over the next few years? In your opinion, where do you see this sector evolving? Do you see it evolving into the mainstream, or will it sort of remain a niche legal sector going forward?
So, to be frank, I think it's already a mainstream. I rarely come across law firms who don't yet have a crypto practice. I'm thinking about, you know, obviously a big law firms. That's already a mainstream area. Again, it's a 1.3 trillion industry in which I think, generally speaking, about crypto and blockchain, difficulties of those industry at the moment are not technology. They are much more about legal and accounting and regulatory issues. So definitely there is great opportunities for lawyers out there in any aspects. On the litigation side of things, yes, I mean, there are already a handful of bankruptcies that I trust that will drive litigation for decades. So that alone could, you know, justify the fund. But apart from that, you know, it's a growing area. It's, you know, it survived the big crash that it suffered about 6 months ago. As long as it keep grows, litigation is also just part of the business environment in any sector. Crypto will be the same in that area. We will see more and more regulation, which again gives us as a funder and obviously the companies for their business much more kind of certainty about the business environment. We, you know, just a week ago, Coinbase filed complained against the SEC because of the, I would say, uncertainty about the U.S. Crypto regulation. I expect that we will see more and more in Europe, in Southeast Asia, and definitely in the U.S., more certainty about the legislation, the regulatory, and then, again, it will be just, I would say it would drive more traditional investors into the space, and we will see it grows. And again, litigation and anything around it will be just part of it. It's never the case, but it's always, you know, come with it. I still think there is definitely for the next few years, this industry will suffer from a lot of bad actors. Those bad actors are likely to conduct more and more hacks and frauds. They always, you know, skilled up their techniques, and you know, so security companies doesn't really know how to face that at the moment. And again, those kind of things also drives a lot of litigation. So, you know, for us, it's great. I'm not sure for the rest of the parties.
What is a problem for others is definitely a boon for the legal services sector. And so, yeah, you can definitely see crypto litigation being...
And you know, generally speaking, I always thought that, you know, litigation funding, I know that there is a lot of discussion these days about, you know, putting more and more regulation on it. But, you know, I'm really, really fortunate to be... I always believe on the good sides of those disputes, helping people who really suffered from losses and damages, money, but not always just money, to recover some of those losses. We really try to tip the balance and help them to recover. So we are not ambulance chasers. We are really not. We really we are lucky to be on the good, I would say, the good side of these equations. And I don't think that making money is part of it. It's betting. So, it's, I guess it's a win-win for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really great because, again, we don't get to talk about crypto too much. And we should. And there's definitely will be more attention being paid, I'm sure, by the litigation funding community over the coming years, as you mentioned. So, Yoav, thanks so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your thoughts about what's happening in the crypto litigation space and what Nemesis is up to there.
Thanks, as always. It's been a pleasure, John.
Yeah, and if you're interested in learning more about Nemesis, you can visit them at their website, www.nemesis.vc. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you on the next episode of the Litigation Finance Podcast.